Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We have an exciting program for you today. We're teaching on receiving our inheritance. Now, we have an inheritance that was provided for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the New Testament. What we can have, what we can be, what we can do, it's all written in there. Now, we have to receive that. And the way we have to do it is by faith. Now, in this particular teaching today, we're showing you that God never intended for the church to be detached from the world. Now, what am I saying? We're to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, as we go into that world, God expects to raise us up in that world so we dominate in the world. I call it taking the mountaintops, controlling the mountains. Now, when I say mountains, I mean the different spheres of influence that are in our world today. Media, education, government, business, so forth and so on. He meant for us, the church, the people, to be in control of every one of those mountains. Now, we need to talk about that and how to do it. So get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. Ready to take some good notes. Let's go into it. It's called Receiving Our Inheritance. We have an obligation, a responsibility, and an authority to possess this entire planet. Now, according to the Bible, everything in this earth belongs to us. Now, I don't know about you, but if it belongs to me, I want mine. I thank you for it. Now, in this, they fear. If you refuse to be terrified of your enemies, glory to God, your enemies are bound to be destroyed. If you refuse to be terrified of your enemies are bound to be destroyed. Now, I'm going to leave that for just a moment, but I'm showing you that he's going on an assignment because he's headed up this mountain. See, you can see it in the imagination, and he's headed up this mountain, but the enemy had a system to stop it, but he broke through the system and dismantled the system. Oh, you got to see it. See, because he's running people through the system. It's a system that's governing people's lives. And no one can beat the system. The only one that can beat the system is Jesus. But now Jesus has given the church authorization to beat the system. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you, folks, I've had people come in here and say, Pastor, I can't find any jobs. He said, I said, what happened? Well, I've been incarcerated, and every time I go out and get a job and they see, you know, that I've been incarcerated and so forth and got a record, then they won't hire me and so forth. He said, you know, I mean, should I just leave that off and kind of lie on the form a little bit? I said, no, doc. I said, integrity is what this thing works through. I said, here's what you do. Let's agree right now that you're going to get that job. If God has to put his hand over your application, say amen to that. He's going to do it. Brother came back, had a job. He said they read everything. They said, that's all right. We're going to train you anyway, and so forth and so on. You see what I'm saying? What did he need? He needed favor from God. You see what I'm saying? And the system tried to get you to cooperate with the system, so, because the system is dishonest, the system is full of, oh, you follow what I'm saying, lies and everything. You don't need to do that. You can go in there straight up. I said straight up. And God will give you favor. Say amen to that. Amen. He gives favor to the righteous. So he'll have them people that want to have you in there and treat you better than anybody else that's in there. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Come on now. But what I'm saying is that's by faith. You have to get that by faith. That doesn't come any other way. You can't get it in the flesh. You got to get it by faith. You got to receive it by faith. Now, I'm going to show you this in just a minute. Go over to Daniel with me real quick. Daniel chapter 6. All right. The people that tried to stop Daniel from rising, okay, he was going to the mountaintop. And the people who tried to stop him, were all these people who got together to scheme against Daniel and so forth. They threw Daniel in the lion's den. Did the lion eat Daniel? No. But he was hungry. Let me prove that to you. Verse 24, please. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him where? Into the den of lions. Them, their who? Children, keep going. Their wives, Rover, and no, it didn't say that. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Now, so the people who are coming against you are going to be the people that are going to suffer. You got to hear what I'm saying. When they set a trap for you, they're going to fall in it themselves. All right, so verse 28, so Daniel did what? He prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So notice, here's Daniel, and he's working on getting to the top. So my point to you is that you have been gifted to come into those areas, and God's going to raise you up. Now, here's the thing that you don't want. You don't want God to raise you up, and you say, look what I did. Now, is somebody here with me now? Okay, look what I did. Now, let me show you this. Turn to Daniel chapter 2, please. Daniel chapter 2. Now, this is for you. This is going to be kind of deep now, but I'm trusting that you're going to be able to get this. All right, this is a case where the king had a dream, Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't know what he dreamed or what it meant, but his sleep went from him. In other words, something disturbed him about the dream. So, verse 2, the king commanded to call the magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers, and Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Syria, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you interpretation. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. In other words, I'm going to cut your neck off. If you don't tell me what I dream and tell me quick, I'm going to execute you. But if you show me the dream, interpretation of the dream, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and so forth. So they were properly motivated both ways. Verse 7. They answered again and said, let the king tell the servants a dream, and we will show you an interpretation of it. The king answered and said, hey, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known to me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for so forth and so on. Verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom, and Arioch, the captain of the king's guards, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to him, to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the king the thing known unto Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his followers should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are whose? His. All right? Just stop right there. God has gifted you. And the Bible says a man's gift will do what? Make room for him and bring him before great men. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16. I read you a scripture that you have an anointing for 10 times better than the world does. So you have something inside of you and upon you called an anointing. A short definition for it is the performance enhancer. That this anointing is going to be there to be on top of your gift. And it's going to raise you up above the people of the world. Turn to Exodus chapter 7. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? Look at verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a what? A serpent. Then Pharaoh also called his wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, and they did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. My point to you is that your gift plus the anointing is going to swallow up every gifting that they might have and place you on top in control of the high places. That God, now, to get this to work, you've got to believe it. Because, oh Jesus, the blessings, God cannot bless without you asking for it. But when you ask, you have to ask in faith. Now, I want you to hear me. The church has still been walking with the world. Now, when I say that, I mean your abilities far exceed the world. And what you have to do is, in Daniel's case, here is the king. Nobody in their natural gifting could solve the problem. But the anointing plus gifting solved the king's problem. My point to you is that the world, folks, I understand internet, Microsoft and all that. Suppose I tell you that there's a level above that that will obsolete the system that's out there right now. See, the same thing happened in flying. They didn't believe that folk were supposed to fly. But the Wright brothers came along. But then after they got that, somebody said, no, we can fly much faster than that. Right. And they said, well, how is that going to happen? What did they have to do? They had to go to a new generation of flying called a jet engine. I was talking to a man. He said, hey, you know, oil is a counterfeit water. I said, what? Suppose instead of having to put oil in your car and get emissions, you can run it on water. Whatever gifting and sphere of influence you're in, God wants to give you an idea. I'm telling you, folks, the educational system, there's a new level that we can go to. There's a way we can go and be able to teach kids that we have never been able to teach before. But it's like the church has just been operating down there with the world and competing for that space. Listen, folks, you're so far above that space. Just take my, can you take my word for it? Listen, Daniel didn't know what God was going to tell him, but he did know this. He said, King, give me a couple of days. I'll be back with an answer. I remember a man called me, as a CEO of one of the large Fortune 500 corporations around in this whole area, and said, hey, I need to do something for these kids in inner city. I need to know what to do for them. And I went and met with him, so forth. He said, yeah, I'm just saying, and me and some other people and chairman of Newsweek and all that, we were talking, so forth. I said, okay. He said, I'm looking to do something for him. I said, I tell you what, give me 7 days and I'll come back and tell you what to do. Now, I didn't know what to do, but I knew that I had contact with the wisdom of God. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2 real quick. Proverbs chapter 2. See, we got to take those mountains, because whoever controls the mountains controls the sphere of influence. And we're coming in. The Bible says wisdom is better than weapons of war. You don't need to go in and choke nobody or hold a gun on nobody. You don't need to do that. Just use wisdom and you can bring them over to your side. Are y'all with me? All right. Now, what did I tell you to turn? Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, and look what it says in verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up what? Sound wisdom for who? The righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. So he's laying up sound wisdom for you. Isn't he laying it up for you? Now, if he laid it up for you, then you're going to have to get it. And God cannot bless without you asking for it. God cannot bless without you placing a demand on the covenant. Are you following what I'm saying? You got to hear me. All right, turn to James, James chapter 1, all the way back by the book of Revelation. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack what? Wisdom. Let him what? Ask of God. That giveth what? To all men what? Liberally and what? Abradeth not. And what will happen? It shall be given him. But let him ask how? Let him ask how? In faith, nothing what? Wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think, keep going, that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We can outrun the world. See, when they are coming up with it, then they're getting the money for it. They're the ones who are controlling everything. But if we can control that mountaintop, if we won't bow down, if we will stay with God and not shrink away from problems, because we have access to the wisdom of God to solve any problem that's in this earth. Praise God. Look what it says here in verse 14. This is a confidence that we have in who? Him. That if we ask, come on, anything according to his will, what does he do? He hears us. And if we know that he what? Hear us, whatever we ask, keep going, we know we have what? The what? We have the petition that we desired of him. Now, this is where I want to take you. Come on. This is receiving our inheritance. I want to take it to this. I want to take it to the fact that now, where you are, in order for things to work in your life, you must leave the realm of the senses. Where you are now, is there's nothing in your senses that can contact this, whatever you want, that are involved. Nothing. That your relationship from this point on with God, in terms of the things you desire, you need or want, have nothing to do with anything you can feel, see, taste, touch, and smell. From this day forward, they have nothing to do with it. They have nothing to do with it. God is sending you to take rulership, to take over. But as you go in there, you're going to have to do it by faith. But if you're looking to do it by faith, faith means that you've left the sense realm. that no longer are you looking to your senses to tell you anything in terms of good or bad or indifferent or whether you have it or whether you don't. Your senses are not involved. So the natural senses belong to the natural man. You are not the natural man. You are a spiritual man. And you are going in and possess things, but you're going to have to take them by faith. Say amen to that. Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And when he signed it, every slave was made free. Now, they had to simply believe what was signed and act on it. So suppose the slaves would have looked around and said, well, I don't look like it's free. They act in the same way. They talk in the same way. Then would the slaves have been free? No, they had been legally freed, but they had never acted on what was legally written. Why? Because sometimes they're looking around, seeing if things agree with what's written legally. But I'm telling you right now, from this day forward, in order for you to receive your inheritance in your promised land, you're going to operate in a level that is beyond anything that you can see, that you can feel, that your emotions would tell you, or anything. You are not in that realm anymore. So when it comes time to solve the problem, you're not going to look and just look at your natural intellectual world program mind. You're going to look and say, Lord, I need an answer to this problem. Say amen to that. Because this is what Daniel did. He went in to seek the mercies of God. He said, Lord, I need an answer. I need you not only to tell me what the king dreamed, but I need you to give me the interpretation for what he dreamed. Now, this is the confidence that you have in him, that if you ask anything according to his will, he just heard you. And if he heard you, you know you have. I said, you know you have the petition you desired of him. Now, I'm telling you all this because not only is your wisdom there, but your provisions are there. Your rent money is there. Come on, your healing is there. Come on, your marriage being made whole is there. Is it? Your victory is there. Your esteem is there. Everything that you need is in this book. But the way you're going to get it is fight for it. But the fight that you're going to fight is the good fight of faith.
Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, again, that's receiving our inheritance. Now, we're talking about the church going into the world, not supposed to be detached from the world, but in that world. And a lot of times we try to, you know, kind of sit up behind four walls. It's not the idea. The church is not a building. It's a people. And God told us to go into all the world. So as we go into the world, we're to make a difference in that world. In other words, as in Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, we're to be performing sometimes at 10 times better than the world would do something. Now, what are we doing with that? It's just like Joseph down in Egypt. Pharaoh did not want to know anything about Joseph's father, Joseph's dad, until Joseph created a platform of sufficient credibility that Pharaoh would ask, who is your father? He wanted to know something about his lineage. Where'd you come from? You see, now I'm saying the same thing about us. When we come up with a new invention in terms of how we can run our educational system or teach kids who are maybe difficult to teach or hard of learning, we come up with new systems of medications and inventions that won't create side effects, that people have to watch the kidney and you know how it is when the side effects come from medication. I'm saying God's people have a capability of doing this. Why? Because we're tied into the wisdom of God. And the world is waiting on this. Well, the address and phone number on your screen, I want you to order it right away. This is a powerful teaching. It's talking about how to go in that world and be raised up in that world and not even compromise. Because when you compromise something, whatever you compromise to get, you're going to have to compromise to keep. God is showing us how to go into that world without compromise and make a difference in that world. Well, this is Bill Winston. That's all we have for this time. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.